Our theme for the whole of 2022 is live the new life, growing in Christ's likeness. And the topic this morning from this passage is on Jesus' obedience, the obedience of our Lord Jesus. So before we move into that, shall we just go to the Lord in prayer? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning to worship you. We thank you for the gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We commit the remaining time to you, and may you reveal yourself in your word to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This will be my sequence of sharing. All right, but before we do that, let's just read the passage. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. I read from NIV. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." But Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from, and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." Verse 17, "In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be." Sorry, let me read that again. "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. The word of the Lord. This is my sequence I'll be going through. First, the context. There's this context of unbelief, actually throughout the whole book of John. And then there's this feast, this great feast that is called Sukkot. This will help us to understand what Jesus said in the passage that we just read. And my sharing points, I've chosen to highlight who Jesus is, his obedience, followed by lights of the world and our obedience before I conclude. So the context of unbelief, almost in the whole book of John, and this is a simple outline of John, the book of John that I took from my study Bible. Okay, it says that from chapter 1 and the early part of chapter 2 was all about the birth and preparation of the Lord Jesus, preparation for his ministry. And the second big chunk is from chapter 2, verse 12 to chapter 12, which talks about the message and ministry of Jesus. And then the last few chapters were on his death and the resurrection. So Jesus encountered unbelief from the onset of his ministry. And we find this starting from John chapter 2, verse 18. They were amazed by his miracles, but they questioned his claims of divinity. The Apostle John was a witness to the widespread unbelief of Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. And I think that's why this led him to focus his gospel on Jesus' divinity and the message that all who believe in him will have eternal life. So next is on Sukkot. Sukkot, this feast, the Feast of Booths, or they call it the Feast of the Tabernacles, is, you can find this information about this feast in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33 to 43, and Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13 to 17. And so we find that what happened in chapter 8 that we read from took place in this Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles. In fact, the whole of chapter 7 and chapter 8 of John captured the events that took place in Jerusalem during this feast. Sukkot is the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles is a seven-day joyous celebration that commemorates the Israelites' 40 years journey in the wilderness to remember God's faithfulness, his guidance, protection, and providence for the people of Israel. During the celebration, they will live in booths or temporary shelters of branches to remind them of how they had lived in tents while in the wilderness for 40 years. And by the time Solomon became king of Israel, this festival had become the most important festival observed, referred to simply as the feast or the festival, depending on which version of the Bible you have. So that's about the context of unbelief, and that all this took place, the events that we are going to talk about today took place at this feast. So now we go to the first sharing point, the true light of the world. We will look at who Jesus claims to be and also what he claims to offer to mankind. So we're talking about both his identity and his mission. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, the beginning of our passage this morning. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of life of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To understand why Jesus said this, we need to go back to Sukkot and look at its one of his customary practices. On the first day of this feast, three gigantic candles, I do not know whether they are made of wax or they are basically structures where you put oil and then you put a wick. But three gigantic candles, each 75 feet high, are erected. And that is about your HDB block 7 stories high. Okay, this is how high these candles are. These candles were a symbol of the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites when God led them out of Egypt. The lights of these three gigantic golden candles were reported to be very bright and give light to all the courtyards in Jerusalem. That's how bright it is. And previously, I don't think they've got a 7-story building, right? Nothing to block the light. On the last day, the 8th day, these candles were extinguished in a solemn manner. So when they extinguished the candles, you can just imagine how dim it must have been after that. The brightness now compared to the normal dim light. And it was at this very moment that our Lord Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So when our Lord Jesus speaks, you know, we need to understand, we need to know the background, the custom, to fully understand where he's coming from. So he made that linkage, who he is, as to compare himself with the brightness, the radiance that the three gigantic candles had provided over the last 7 days. So Jesus made use of the contrast of the brilliant light given by the three gigantic candles to the comparatively dimness when they were extinguished to accentuate or emphasize his message. "I am the light of the world." The man-made inanimate candles that were used during Sukkot can only provide light in Jerusalem during the event. And the light that it gives can only help those in Jerusalem to see physical things clearer. Whereas Christ himself is the spiritual, the divine, the radiant, the glorious, the eternal and perpetual light for all of mankind. And that was how the Apostle John introduced the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, how John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus, okay? Wait, I get mixed up. This is John and that is John. It was Apostle John, sorry, because he wrote the Gospel of John. So the Apostle John introduced Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 9. "The true light that gives light to every man was coming to the world." The divine light, Christ, not only reveals sin and evil, but also illuminates everything that is godly, good, and of true beauty. He is also the light that will reveal God the Father to us. And this is how Jesus prayed for himself in John chapter 17. He prayed to God the Father, okay? "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." And in verse 6, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world." Christ is the only source of godly truth and spiritual discernment. He is the light. There is no other. He is already here. You look at the later half of John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus continued to say, but we'll have the light of life. Jesus also mentioned this connection between light and life. So why is the connection? And we find this in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Lord Jesus is the creator of life. He was with God in the very beginning. And this is what John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 tells us. It's a very wonderful three verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The creator of life is also the giver of light. The Lord Jesus gives his light that those who are blinded by the evil one and dead to sin may see the light. And for those who believe in him and follow his light, he gives life, a fullness of life that knows and worships the one true God. The center portion of John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The word darkness used here is not used to describe a situation where there is the absence of illumination. For example, it is dark at night. But it refers to the spiritual darkness of sin and evil. Being the light of the world doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus has removed all darkness from the world, at least not yet. But he promises that those who follow him will never walk in darkness. But that also means that if we do not follow him, we will walk in darkness. So it's either Jesus, the spiritual light, or spiritual darkness. And unless we believe and follow Jesus, the light of the world, we will die in our sins and face eternal judgment. That was what he was trying to tell the Pharisees. You cannot come. You cannot go where I'm going. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus also said this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So for emphasis, there is no other way. My second sharing point, now you know who Jesus is. The second sharing point is on the obedience of the Lord Jesus. When mankind fell into sin, the consequences were disastrous beyond imagination. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. So the consequences of sin was that mankind had to die, both a physical death as well as a spiritual one. And the only price acceptable to redeem mankind from sin and eternal death had to be a perfect and sinless sacrifice. But this is what Romans 3:23 tells us. But all have sinned, and so there's no one to fit the bill. No one who is perfect, who is sinless. So there's no hope for us then, isn't it? But in John 3:16, we read this, that God in his great love and grace and mercy gave his one and only Son. His one and only Son, who is perfect, who is sinless, because he was born of the Holy Spirit and of a virgin. One who is fully God and yet fully man. Human, yet sinless. So that God could die on the cross to redeem us from our sin. It's a mystery to us how God does this. But it just demonstrates the power of God, that as the perfect and sinless man, the Lord Jesus could now die for our sins. And this is what Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 talks about, the Lord Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So from the very beginning, when God the Father decided to give his one and only Son as the perfect sacrifice for the redemption of mankind because of our sin, Jesus submitted in obedience. In spite of knowing that this obedience was going to cost him everything, he will have to suffer humility, abandonment, shame, and pain. And when I talk about pain, it's the deep emotional hurts and excruciating physical pain. And all this at the hands of insignificant mankind. And yet, Jesus obeyed God the Father, even through the darkest hours. This is a painting titled The Agony in the Garden. And we read in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 44, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And then Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. And this was just before he was arrested and crucified. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is the image of the passion of Christ. And when Jesus was bound like a criminal, spat at, mocked, beaten, flogged, had a crown of thorns rammed on his head, and finally crucified, our Lord Jesus never faltered and continued to submit to the will of God the Father. Steadfast, total submission and obedience. Not because he was forced to, but in loving submission to the authority of the Almighty God and Heavenly Father, who is holy, just, loving, faithful, and who knows what is best. And the Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 12, verse 29, He always does what pleases God the Father. What an example. You know, you think that, I think most of you would have experienced this, would have some knowledge of this, that if our parents were someone famous, how difficult it is for us to actually behave properly, right? We will feel that we have more leeway, you know, whatever we do wrong, it's okay, our dad will rescue us, you know? But here is the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. Until the very end, he persevered in his submission and obedience. And this leads me to my third sharing point, Lights of the World. How many of you know this song? This little light of mine. Those of you of us who grew up in Sunday school will know this song, isn't it? Or in my time, I used for Christ, you know. This is what these two verses tells us. John chapter 12, verse 36, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. In the Ephesians passage, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. And the Lord Jesus has just showed us his good example. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. This is what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus claimed in John chapter 8, verse 12, that I am the light of the world. And here he's telling all of us, you are also the light of the world. Our Lord Jesus knew who he is. He is the true light that brings salvation to all mankind. But do we really know who we are? Or has our identity over the years been clouded by the distractions of life and the world? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is who we ought to be. This is who we are. We too are the lights of the world, reflecting the true light of the Lord Jesus. And we belong to him. He has paid for us with his life. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us pay heed to his exhortation. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen? Let me read that again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen? Which leads me to my last point. Obedience. Now we're talking about our obedience. John the Baptist lived over 2,000 years ago. But both his life and the lives of those of us who believe and follow the Lord Jesus has something very much in common. This was what the Apostle John wrote about John the Baptist. That's why I got mixed up just now. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, may I invite you to read this edited version with me and fill the blanks with your own gender and your own name. For those of us who would like to, read along with me. There came a man, for me it's a man, for you the ladies a woman. There came a man who was sent from God. My name is Chia Eng Chuan. I come as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. I myself am not that light. I come only as a witness to the light. Amen. We are not the true light, but we are witnesses to the true light. To do that, the Lord Jesus said, we need to live as light, to shine in the darkness, to live as lights. We must follow the true light. When the Lord Jesus was asked, which is the most important of all the commandments, the Lord Jesus' reply was this: the most important one is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We read that just now. But this is something that the Lord Jesus added. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And that, in a nutshell, is what being obedient to God is all about. In conclusion, I'd just like to ask a question. Do we truly know the Lord Jesus? We know about him. Some of us know him. Do our lives demonstrate the submission and obedience due to him as both Savior and Lord? The way we live our lives is as if, sometimes it's as if we do not know who he is, or we do not know his mighty power. Let's go back to the Lord Jesus and confess our lack of faith at the foot of the cross and discover him afresh. He is the Son of God, the true light of the world, and the salvation of mankind. Now, for the last few minutes, I'd like to show a video, a music video titled "Mary, Did You Know?" Mary, did you know? Mary was the virgin mother of Jesus. The archangel Gabriel visited her and told her that God had chosen her to bear and give birth to the Messiah. And she gave birth to Jesus while still a virgin. She knew that. It was her own body. She watched him grow up. She witnessed the many miracles that Jesus performed. She heard him teach. She witnessed his death on the cross. But until she witnessed his resurrection, did she really and truly know who Jesus is? So let's just watch this music video. Everything, please. Mary, did you know? May I invite all to stand for the closing prayer and benediction? Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both life and light. And may you help us to see the Lord Jesus afresh for who he really is, and respond to Him with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you.